Pretend like I'm Judge Judy here. I'm Judge Greggy.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, the oldest man to ever start a podcast, Greg Cody.
All right, I think I need to start this. We've had a couple takes at this, and Greg Cody's voice is struggling. We're doing this open late in the evening on Sunday. We did an interview. The Greg Cody Show is what you're listening to, the Greg Cody Show podcast with Greg Cody. I'm Chris Cody. I'm talking first here because Greg Cody's voice is just not doing great late on a Sunday night. Greg, would you like to showcase that for the audience?
I think my voice is great. It feels great. It's
perfect. That was perfect. You showcased it. I honestly think that the best part today on today's Greg Cody Show, we have Christy Cody, my wife.
Yes.
Talking to us. It's a family affair here. And in that interview, you sound fantastic.
Right.
What's happened in the last 6 hours? Did the Dolphins blowing that loss against the Broncos really just set your voice back?
Oh, my God. And we're going to talk about that for a second. But, you know, my voice undulates. It's back and forth. It's up and down.
Because I could have sworn that you've said recently that it's a morning thing, that once you get past the morning, it's, you know, you're home free with the good voice.
No, we're good. Let's move on. We have Christy on the show today for the first time. Christopher's wife, my daughter-in-law. You all have heard her referenced on the Levitard Show sometimes for how she's so finicky and she doesn't like my shrimp. She doesn't like mushrooms. But we're going to get into all that. And she shares family secrets about Christopher and I that are fun. I think you all are going to like them. Maybe they're a little embarrassing for us. I'm not sure. But before we get to Christy, I want to talk a little bit about sports, because is the Tua train off the tracks? I have to ask you that, because the Dolphins lost in Denver today. We just finished watching it. It was sort of a comeuppance, sort of a, you know, slap in the face, a reality check. I don't know what you'd call it, but, you know, the offense was horrible. The offense was terrible. Tua wasn't great, and they lost a game they shouldn't have lost. And what do we make of the Dolphins right now?
I'm just blown away that the benching of Tua was because of performance. Like, I was so sure that it had to be ankle-related or some sort of injury-related. Like, I guess Flores was just sending a little message to his quarterback. Hey, you don't have this in the bag.
Okay. Have they said who's the quarterback moving forward?
Yeah. They said, yes. He says it's to a job. Like, it was just a temporary, it was just a little kick. It was just a kick in the rear end saying, hey, just so you know, this isn't yours going forward. Like, you're going to get it back next week, but just so you know, this can happen any game.
Right. I'm a Brian Flores fan.
I'm amazed by that. This is awesome.
I don't know if it's awesome. I am a Flores fan. He would get my coach of the year vote right now. But when you bench Tua in the first game where he's really struggling, where he's in a threat to lose, I think you're second guessing your whole plan. I mean, why did you start him a few games ago if the first time he struggles, you're going to remove him? I don't agree with it.
I feel like you could make the argument, though. You started him a few games ago because that was part of your plan, okay? But now the plan has been executed, and we're to the point now where the plan has been installed, and now we're at the point where it's time to show. If you don't show, you get benched. Like, I like the idea of, hey, Tua, this is, of course, your team. Like, you're the quarterback of the future. But if you play like crap, you're going to get benched because we're 6-3. Now we're 6-4. We have a viable shot at the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this was a game where, you know, it's all going to be about the benching of Tua, and that's going to be the storyline. And I get that. But this was a bigger issue. The Dolphins' offensive line, which is sort of overachieved all year. The offensive line, we saw what it was today. They gave up at least 4 or 5 sacks.
Mina looking pretty good now. I might have been getting texts from Mina privately saying, hey, I don't want to tweet this because I don't want the Dolphin fans to get all sensitive again. But, hey, Dolphin fans, where's your O-line at that you were bragging about?
Yeah, there you go. And circle back to our last podcast to hear Mina talk about that. But the offensive line didn't protect Tua much. The running game is just not there yet. They do not have a great or even an average running game to support him. So, you know, Tua's not getting a lot of help. Granted, he needs to make a play. He needs to rise above everything else and be the difference-making playmaker. But, you know, four games into his career, you know, that's a lot to ask. So I thought it was an interesting game in the overall, beyond the quarterback position. What we saw today was a Dolphin team that is much better, much improved, but not ready to stake its claim yet to being anything special. Before we move on and get to Chrissy, I want to just mention real quickly the Heat draft. They drafted a guy named Precious Achiuwa, and what interests me far more about that is that Precious has an entire family of fabulously named people. Grace, God's will, God's gift. If Precious is nearly as good at basketball as his family is at naming babies, they just won the damn draft, because that's fantastic. And, you know, when you're picking somebody 20th, you don't expect to get an instant star, a right now star, but they strategically drafted somebody who's there to back up Bam Adebayo. And I think that's smart, because when Bam was out in the playoffs, in the finals, which seems like a minute and a half ago, they really struggled. And they made a first round draft pick to sort of solve that, which I think is smart. And before we move on, the UM football season, which has risen into the top 10, has been completely derailed by COVID, including the head coach, Manny Diaz. And, you know, it struck everybody. It struck the whole sport. There were like 19 games this past weekend that were canceled or postponed because of COVID. Butch Davis, not to drop a name, Butch Davis texted me from Western Kentucky, where FIU lost another game. And he was telling me how he lost most of his coaches and so many of his players, and he could barely field a team. And it's just, it really makes you wonder, should we be playing this season, particularly as it, you know, as the spike happens and as it's going to get worse, perhaps in the next couple of months. It just makes you really wonder about priorities and sports role in all this. It's a serious situation, but we're going to try to get beyond it and get to the fun stuff, which is why
you just wanted to drop that Butch Davis text you, right? That's what that
yeah, that's pretty, yeah, that's pretty much the whole thing. I tried to do it subtly, but you just shone a spotlight on it, but that's okay.
I mean, it's just like, that's all I heard there. Butch Davis
right.
text me.
So, right. So we're going to get on to the fun stuff, because you guys are really going to enjoy meeting Christopher's wife and my daughter-in-law. We love her like a wife and a daughter-in-law, quite frankly. So let's get on with it.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
That is my daughter running by completely nude for some reason. Gracelyn, why don't you have underwear on?
Put them on now.
I'm putting on now, Daddy.
Okay. Once kids establish that they can change clothes, they do it a lot.
Gracelyn, Mommy and Daddy are about to record with Pop on the computer, and you're going to watch your tablet for a little bit.
Hey. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys.
Want to come say hi to Pop?
Where's Gracelyn? There she is. I see her. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Did you have a nice breakfast? Mm-hmm. Hey, that kind of thing.
Gracelyn, all right, you're going to go watch your tablet.
Watch your tablet for a couple
Say
minutes.
See you later, Pop.
See you later, Pop.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye. Oh. Got to get my voice together here. The hell's going on?
You okay? You got to be careful.
Yeah, I'm good. It's just the morning. So, oh, you're talking to Gracelyn.
She hurt herself trying to get down the chair from the chair. Yeah. Go watch your tablet for a few minutes, okay?
Let's just sort of get started. Rather than have it sound like an interview, we'll just have a casual talk. We have a special guest on the show today, and it's Chris's wife, Christy. And one of the reasons I wanted to invite her on is that Dolphin fans are finally coming out of the dark. I mean, after years and years of losing, the Miami Dolphins finally have hope. And the next team the Dolphins play is the New York Jets, which currently do not have a lot of hope. And Christy happens to be a Jets fan.
Can we be honest? That's not why you're having her on right now. You're having her on because you think she's going to get clicks. You think she's going to say something about me or you that's going to get some downloads. Like, let's be transparent about this.
Oh, I'm transparent. And that's probably partly true. Although,
Christy, do you
I am interested in what a Jets fan is thinking right now. Is you don't know about Sam Darnold yet. Your coach is a walking nightmare. Christy, how is it to be a Jets fan in 2020?
For me personally, I don't set very high expectations on any season.
Smart.
So it's still disappointing, though. It's still a hard pill to swallow when your team is defeated.
What do you think of Sam Darnold?
I don't think he's the problem. I think the Jets need to surround him with better talent. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that Gase in the front office are doing a real disservice to them.
It does have like Ryan Tannehill vibes with Sam Darnold, where if he went somewhere else, he would like all of a sudden.
For sure. 100%. I think if he went anywhere else, he'd at least win a couple games.
Can you hear our daughter whimpering?
She's like
in the
whimpering
background?
Like a wounded cat right
She's
now.
Like, why is she whimpering?
Because we like told her, because this is like a Sunday morning, like it's just the three of us in the house, and she's used to having at least one of us with like her full attention at all times.
Right.
We don't give her a ton of tablet time. We try to keep her as much away from that stuff. So we actually said, hey, give us a half hour and go watch your tablet. And of course, now this is the one time when she doesn't want her tablet because she wants to
both of us are busy.
She wants to be a podcast star now. Gracelyn, do you want to be in the interview? Come here.
Yeah, she can be in. She's the official voice of the Greg Cody Show.
Do you have anything to say?
Hi, Pop.
Hi, Gracelyn.
Well, you can sit with Mommy. We're going to talk, though, okay?
Okay.
Where were we?
It's not as strange to me that they hired Adam Gase as why is he still working? Like, does he have compromising photos of the owner? Like, what's the dynamic there?
Well, Christy, I mean, I think you're asking Christy.
I mean, I think the most shocking thing was after the Patriots loss, the only game that we were remotely winning, and he wasn't gone the next day.
It's crazy that Adam Gase is attached to Joe Douglas's hip. Hold on. This is Gracelyn. Gracelyn?
Gracelyn.
You can't do this right now.
We can't have sound. You can have pictures, but you can't have sound. No, then you have to go watch your tablet.
I'm sorry. This is causing a problem.
No, she needs to be
able to learn.
She needs to be able to have 10 minutes. Gracelyn.
If both of us were sitting on the couch right now doing nothing, she'd be perfectly fine.
Right. Yeah, it's the idea that you... She doesn't have one of your full
Gracelyn,
attention.
Gracelyn, just watch your tablet.
Gracelyn, you want a lollipop? You want a lollipop? You want a lollipop? Okay, go sit on the couch, watch your tablet, and I'm gonna bring you a lollipop. Okay, but you have to be quiet, okay? And you can't move.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you parent.
Bribe with a lollipop. Nothing like a little AM sugar, I'll tell you that.
But yeah, all right, so what I was saying, Joe Douglas... is kind of, he's not going to fire Adam Gase because he hired Adam Gase.
Well, somebody should fire Joe Douglas then. I mean,
I was going to say, that's the move, right? Like, they're attached at the hip. That's like the saddest hip attachment in the history of like two people being attached at the hip. Joe right. Douglas.
Yeah.
Like, name a sadder one in the history of sports than that.
I mean, offhand, I can't. But this is a perfect example. The way systemic dysfunction sets in is when you fail to get rid of people who are obviously pretty bad and nobody has the courage to make the sweeping change. But I agree with you, Christopher, in likening Darnold to Tannehill, not only that he might do better elsewhere, but the idea that, you know, the Dolphins went like 7 years with Tannehill debating is he good enough? You know, because he's not that bad. He has his moments, and it almost seems like Darnold's like that, that when he's healthy, he has the good game, and then you're like, all right, we're with him again, and then he has two bad games in a row.
I feel like we've broken down the Jets enough that they don't deserve this much attention. I want to talk to Christy about how sad this Jets bar is that she goes to. Well, not in a pandemic, but years past with her sister and her dad, all Jets fans.
Oh,
like, you know, like no. It's a sad, come on. There can't be much more sad than it's a Jets not, bar at this point.
It's not sad.
There's a lot of people willing to call themselves Jets fans.
Yes.
Wow. What is it like? like explain the experience.
So they recently moved bars. It was off one bar. Now it's in a different location, which does give off a different vibe.
It used to be in a bowling alley.
Okay, it used to be in a bowling alley bar.
Perfect. Perfect.
It used to be
the saddest kind of bar that there is. It's actually the perfect place for a Jets bar.
You would have to get there like an hour and a half early to get a good table.
How many tables were there?
I mean, but they put all the high tops together.
Was there four tables?
No, there was like way more than four tables.
Were people sitting on pool tables?
Yes, people do sit on pool tables.
Like they pull chairs up and use the pool tables as tables?
Yes, because all the regular tables get filled up.
I understand it.
But then it moved to another bar a little further west and to like a real restaurant, and it kind of took away from the vibe.
Yeah.
Wow. It was better in the bowling alley.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole concept of a Jets bar seems a little funny to me, you know, because are they fans or are they mourners? Like who's showing up to
a little bit of both, like
a Jets party?
I love us Dolphin fans right now. We've been good for like 2 weeks and we're like talking crap. Like we're this like dynasty.
Yeah, we are. We're gloating way too soon, but we have a quarterback now. And, you know, when I say we, it sounds like I'm a homer, but I'm speaking for the community I live in and talk to and write for. And it's a thrilling time. So we're sorry, not sorry for the continuing woes of the New York Jets. Let's move on. We don't want to put Christy through any more torment by having to talk about the Jets, let alone watch them lose every week.
So what are you trying to get out of this interview? Where you want to take this? I have a few places we could take it, but I want you to sort of go first.
You know, I don't think we've had Christy on the podcast, right?
No.
And and Chris, of course, is a very popular part of the podcast, and I think our listeners would enjoy hearing about you know, who is Chris Cody off the field, so to speak, you know, off the air, off the show, you know, off the Levitard show and off my podcast. What's it like living with Chris Cody?
I mean, outside of all that, I think he's just a pretty normal husband who doesn't lift the seat when he pees or put his clothes in the hamper.
Relax. Slow down.
We're talking about me. What?
Say a couple nice things before you go to the good, the bad stuff, but you know, that's fine.
Okay. So he's a normal human being, which, you know, I think there's evidence to the contrary. I'm not sure how normal he is.
I would say like a normal husband, not a normal human being.
Right. that's an important distinction.
I will say I've leaned into the dad life in terms of dad jokes. Yes. And singing around the house, and I feel like you laid a good foundation for that, for like trying to just be weird.
Right. So, like, okay.
I find myself doing odd things like that where I'm just like, wow, I'm a dad.
Yeah. I hear evidence of you being a dad in the background. Well, that's now things my daughter crashing, and
she's big into T-ball right now. So yes. She wants to hit inside, but anyways, keep going.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, as long as we're talking about Grayson, I do want to ask the two of you together to talk a little bit about parenthood, because it's something that happens without a handbook and all of a sudden you're parents. Wow. And how has it been for you two in terms of sort of tougher than you imagined, easier, more fulfilling? Like what's the vibe of being young parents?
I think it's probably a little tougher than you initially think.
It's just relentless.
Right.
It's never ending. It's like, you know, like work can be really tough, and then you get, not that you want a vacation from your kid, but I'm just saying, it's just, there's so many good moments, but there just are exhausting moments, more for her than me. Like, trust me, she does way more than I do. So like I'm speaking from my perspective and I feel that way. So it can only be more so for her, but the joy we get after she goes to bed of just like talking about like the three things that day that like made us laugh out loud because of how adorable she is. Like,
I mean, most nights I still like look through pictures on my phone after she goes to bed and look at pictures of her.
Right.
Sure.
Like, you
absolutely.
Know, and that's when even, you're in the moment, it's draining.
And that's even after it took a half hour to get her to go to sleep. And I wanted to like, you know, just pull my hair out. And then an hour later, I'm like laughing about it because I'm just like, God, she's so cute because she doesn't like realize the pain that she's being.
Right. It's like the best tired you'll ever be. I don't know if that's
like. Oh, what an adorable quote.
It is a good
really
quote.
Is. It's true and adorable, but like it really is true.
Yeah, story. The best tired you'll ever be. I love that.
Put that
so,
on a shirt.
So Chris Cody is an excellent parent. Room for improvement. What would you say about him?
No, he's an excellent dad. He's a fantastic dad. He plays with her in ways that I will never have the energy for.
I definitely need more work as a husband than I do as a dad. But I feel like
okay,
that's,
yeah.
But I feel that's like really that's. Loud. But I feel like that's fair for that's really most loud. People. Like you know, like the dad thing is easy. It's we got to remember to give this one the credit. She, you know, the baby gets all the attention.
Right.
You hear her in the background because she can't not have the attention.
Yeah. As Levitard would say, Grayson is actively playing defense against the show right now. but we love it. Christy, what is one thing that you would change or improve about your husband? Because I know my wife would have a laundry list of answers, I suspect.
Just so you know, I'm going to get you back for this by asking her. I'm going to have her talk crap about you soon. Go ahead, Christy.
Oh, there's nothing bad about me, but go ahead, Christy.
It's a hard question because at the same time, like he really helps. He cleans, he cooks.
I have my pros and my cons.
And then, but when he cooks, he doesn't clean.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, yeah. So maybe if he like cleaned as he cooked.
Yeah. This is the thing. This is what she's really talking about. I can go to sleep. Like sometimes after dinner, I clean every dish. But, you know, I think.
I clean every dish.
Well, I mean, that's not true. I clean sometimes. But I'm saying I don't like if there's a night where it's like late in the week or I had a long day. I don't like I'm OK with going to bed one night, like leaving the dishes in the sink and I'll get them the next day.
Like, it's not a priority for like him to empty out the sink and clean all the dishes after dinner.
Right.
It's even like pots and pans and stuff.
It's OK if that stuff builds up for a day or two and then you do it nuts. And then you do it. Like that's just something that we disagree on. Like so that, you know, it's
I do not like a sink full of dishes and he's yeah. perfectly fine. Just.
Yeah,
letting it pile up.
Yeah, I wouldn't say pile up. I'd say just, you know, a smattering of things.
And which would be okay if he actually rinsed out the dishes that That's he was leaving in the sink.
That's a fair
That's the key.
He literally just takes it from the stove or from the table and puts it
in. No, that stuff I rinse out a little bit. Like I do, I'm the Tupperware. That's the one thing I'll give you that. I'm known to sometimes, but this is actually more pre-pandemic.
So when he was traveling to work, he would bring his lunch in Tupperware and he would eat it at work and he would come home and not rinse it out, nothing, and literally put the closed Tupperware with leftover food in it.
Well, leftover remnants of food. You know that there's no food left over in that thing. But yes.
Whatever crumbs are left over in the Tupperware,
so
he
like,
would not open up
right, so
and
like,
rinse out and he would just put in the sink with the lid on it.
So she would get home and like at 8 p.m. when she's looking at the dishes, she like lifts up this thing and you get this like whiff of like 7 hour old, like
it's so gross.
Room temperature food.
Like we've gotten in fights over it before.
Like, right. Yeah. You got to be better about that, boy.
Oh, that's a fair one. See, like that's what I mean. Peeing on the seat, fair criticism.
I mean, he lives with two girls.
Right. Peeing on the seat, fair criticism. That's a fair criticism. The dishes thing, we just have a fundamental disagreement about whether it's okay to go to sleep one night. Like, Dad, you're going to probably take her side because I lived with you. And you guys are big do dishes right after dinner type people. So I think you're going to take Christy's side on this.
Well, of course, I do legitimately take Christy's side on this. And do you guys, I'm trying to picture your kitchen. Do you guys not have a dishwasher?
We do.
You do.
We load it. Like, don't let her paint this picture like I don't do dishes. Like, every once in a while, I'm okay with not doing every dish after dinner. But for the most part, I do dishes. I empty and load the dishwasher. Don't let her do this.
Okay. Well, I'm pretend like I'm Judge Judy here. I'm Judge Greggy. And the verdict I'm rendering is that you need to be a little bit better on the dishes cleanup thing.
Deal.
Now, Christopher, where did you want to take
this? Oh, yeah, it's my turn. I had something else planned here, but I want her to badmouth you now.
Oh, I just thought of a couple other things about you, though.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, please.
No, we'll get back to those. No, yes. Enough of this. I'm taking control. Just give me a dish of his that you don't like. Come on. We go over there every other Sunday. We do our in-law's house. And when we do his, come on, over years, there's got to be a dish.
Be honest.
I mean,
oh, there is a dish. Yes, come on,
please.
In all, I love your cooking. and there's not many dishes that I dislike.
Ooh, there's more than one,
right?
No, there's only one that's really
good. What is it?
I don't exactly know what it's called, but it's that fish in the red sauce.
I know what dish she's talking about. It has like olives in it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's my take Veracruz style. It's like usually it's snapper Veracruz, but I generally might put halibut or something else in there.
It does. It does sound. I get what she like when she says it like that. It is a. It's a fish in like an Italian.
Yeah, it's style like style. A Veracruz style. Yes, I think it's a Spanish dish actually. Okay. Well, we're gonna. That's what we're having later today. Christy, so we'll give you an extra big portion.
I mean, speaking of that, like the fans of the Levitard show, like know her a lot of time, like because of the rejoin where, you know, I think you guys should have the discussion now. Like that's a true story about her being allergic to shellfish, right? And the mushrooms thing. Like Christy, what is your, like, have you ever had people like say to you?
So at work, maybe like last week, one of my coworkers is like, oh man, I would love a spinach pizza with mushrooms on it. And I'm like, mushrooms are gross. And my coworker was like, how about I knew you didn't like mushrooms before I even met you.
What does that mean?
Well, because of the show, because of the Levitard show and the rejoin, that like people at Moss events come up to me, like when they find out who I am and they're like, I can't believe you don't like mushrooms. Like this is just like public knowledge now.
Yeah.
I love how Greg didn't even pick up on this. He was like, what does that even mean?
Well, I didn't know she was a fan of the show. I thought there was a certain look of people who didn't like mushrooms. But also the idea that you don't like shrimp is, you know, because mushrooms and shrimp are two of my like favorite things. And the idea that you don't like that, it's, you know, it makes it a little more difficult to find a Sunday meal. That
outside of those two things, I'm really not a picky eater.
Right. Okay. So shrimp, mushrooms, and she hates my fish Veracruz. Okay. So those three things. And then I love her anyway. And we're going to move on now.
Dad, did you know that Christy's terrified of ducks?
I did not. That's terrifying.
It's like an irrational fear. You know how harmless ducks are? They just like waddle up to you because they think you're going to give them some bread. Terrifies her.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
Terrified.
She's giving me a look. Really? Like, why'd you just bring that up?
Like, I realize it's an irrational fear, but it is a fear that I have. Like, so much so that, like, bringing groceries into the house, if like ducks waddle up to me, I will just leave the trunk open and come inside and close the door. Wow. I don't.
What if a duck hops into your trunk though? That's,
I might die.
I think ducks are strange because I'm not afraid of them, but you know, ducks are walking on their hind legs and it looks like they should have little arms. You know, ducks always to me look like what happened to their arms?
They do look like animals that have their arms cut off.
Yes. That's
they
what
would
I'm saying.
Look, they would look less awkward with arms. They do have arms. We know people are going to tweet us. Their wings are their arms and they kind of just like hang on their sides of their bodies. But we're just saying they look really awkward. And if they had little arms poking out, they'd look more normal.
They would. But no, I get what, you know, I never make fun of what anybody else is afraid of because I'm afraid of frogs. You could not pay me to pick up a little frog on my front doorstep. You could offer me $100 to get rid of that frog. I wouldn't.
I would not touch a frog.
So you're kind of afraid of frogs as well.
I wouldn't.
I mean, I wouldn't want to touch a frog. Like they do. That does seem like, but like if I was in a spot where I needed to like shoo one out of somewhere, I wouldn't be afraid to like, I know it's terrifying.
No,
of me.
I would like find a stick or something.
See, like, yeah. I think my irrational animal fear is way more normal than your twos.
What is it, like alligators or something?
No, snakes. No. I'm actually not that afraid of snakes. Obviously, I wouldn't want to be alone in a room with a snake, but the one that I'm irrationally terrified of is like the rodents, like possums and raccoons. Like the idea of like me turning a corner late at night, like near my car and seeing like a raccoon like sitting right there, like is bleeping terrifying to me.
Right.
But the idea, Christy, like if a duck just walks towards her, she starts making this like big U shape to go around it to like, she'll clear like, if they're coming at each other, Christy's changing her route. The duck is winning that battle.
It's true.
I also hate the little, the Muscovy ducks have that little red thing like right, turkey.
That's the part that, you know, really kills me.
We're getting sidetracked here. We need to get back on. Like, I feel like you didn't get this bad enough, Greg Cody. What? Give me more things about him. like, what, like, do you have anything in the chamber? Like, he's weird. Like, come on. We laugh about how weird he is.
Yes.
Like, say more things about how weird my dad is.
I mean, there's just not.
You like to egg him on, though. Like, I feel like this, she's a bad person to ask about this because she, like, kind of gets this Greg Cody character and, like, feeds into it, I feel like.
Well, especially at dinners when, like, you and your brother are arguing with him. Like, I just feel like taking his side
right.
to get a rise out of you and Michael
right.
is worth it.
She kind of plays the role of Billy on the Levitard show sometimes when you're riling up Dan. Billy will just come in and be like, I agree. And you'll be like, thank you, Billy. Right. Like, that, like, that's kind of what Christy does at the dinner table. Like, you'll be doing something that's enraging Michael. And, like, Christy will just kind of throw in one little comment of, like, yeah, I think Greg's right. And Michael will just be like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah, thank Michael's you, famous for that.
Thank you, Christy.
I do like to egg on Michael, who's very easy to trigger, particularly when you're talking about baseball or movies.
Right.
If I say anything that implies I know more about baseball or movies than he does, it's just so easy to get him enraged.
I'm pretty sure we've had the conversation where you're dismissing acting as a difficult skill, kind of saying that you could be an actor. And then Christy will throw in a comment like, I think you could be an actor. And then Michael just head will explode. And like, right. that's the dynamic, basically.
I love it. I love it. And I've gotten off easy because that's not a criticism of me. What we've just
discussed. I know. That's what I'm saying. Do you have like, come on, let's go check your notes. Did you take any notes for this? Like, I should have written down some things that you have on Greg. Come on. It seems like you took notes for me. You rattled that off like you had it just.
I mean,
like,
I live with you. It's easier.
I'm already wounded by the fish Vera Cruz thing. So
I've gotten a little more quiet ever since she said that. Like, it seems like that was a gut punch to you. You don't make it that often.
No, I'm, and it'll be even more rare now. Believe me.
I will agree. I don't love that. Like, it's good, but it is odd actually. Like a red sauce with fish.
Yeah,
she loves your schnitzel.
Schnitzel.
What did I say? Schnitzel. I put the N in there.
You put the N in there, right?
You love like right.
I
like,
know it's my favorite.
Yeah,
I love making it. Not no. No.
All right.
No,
you don't like.
Once
making
again,
it,
we're getting
you?
Sidetracked. Say things bad about him.
I mean, the only other thing that really pops, and it's not bad. It's just odd.
Yeah.
Like pre-pandemic, when we would all go out to a restaurant together.
Oh God, he's so weird at a restaurant.
Like none of us can sit until he sits.
Yes.
Because you don't know where he wants to sit. Mm-hmm. Like you have an idea. And then sometimes you're wrong.
Right.
So we all kind of just hover around the table until Greg sits.
Yes.
And then we all pick our seats from there.
Thank you for that. See, I think that's perfectly normal because let's say there's six of us. Five of us don't care where we're sitting.
It's odd, though, that six of us have to stand around a table until you sit.
Well, it's perfectly normal in the sense that five people, they don't care where they're sitting. They'll sit anywhere. One of the group does care where he sits. And so why shouldn't he be the first one to sit? It's the rule of thumb is give me a corner. Give me a chair where I'm surveying my temporary kingdom.
But I feel like it gives off vibes of I'm the elite person in this society. Whereas like, I feel like in 2020, you know, your wife, maybe you let her sit first. Like, I don't feel like we're living in that time of this is the guy, like, you know, like, you know what I mean? I feel like it's an old timey way of I am the king. Let me sit first.
Well, I think you're attaching something to my preference that isn't necessarily there. It's not a power. You know, it's not a gesture of power by me. It's a gesture of preference. You know, if hey, it's like me saying, hey, if you all don't mind, I'll take the corner seat facing the door, you know.
But if we do mind and we take the seat you want, your mood changes.
I'll try to be better about that.
That was a good one. You got any more? You got any more? That was good. I like that. What else does he do at restaurants? I feel like we could do a whole episode. We have done whole episodes on my dad at a restaurant. What about vacations? What about traveling at an airport? Come on, he's weird. Remember on the cruise when like he didn't know the most common like dances? Were you out there? Were you part of that? It just hit me. We were on a cruise, a 7-day cruise. And we did this, like, everyone got up and it was like the electric slide.
Yes.
A dance like everybody knew. Like any old people, young people, they're following along. And Greg Cody is just out there like, not even like, and you don't have terrible rhythm. I don't associate you with someone who has like zero rhythm.
Right.
It was just like, maybe you were hammered. It was a cruise with a drink package.
I think it was the first
night. I think it was the first night.
And we were like on the boardwalk and they started doing the electric slide. And
right.
even your mom was doing it.
Right. Like, because everybody knows the basics, just like to the left. They like tell you what to do. They're like,
right.
That was the first night of the open bar, though. And I think that's what was up.
Well, the main thing I remember about that is that it was outdoors and it was starting to rain. And so I didn't have an umbrella or anything. And so, you know, I wasn't electric sliding for long. Let's put it that way. I think we were outside of a Mexican restaurant.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. And don't act like everybody knows what the electric slide is. I mean, I'd never heard of it.
But then you can just, at least if you're watching everybody else, to the left. How about
right. I tried to do that.
That's the cha-cha.
That's the cha-cha. Whatever. It was one of those. I don't even think it might not have been the electric slide. It might have been what I just said.
Right. Slide schmide. All right, Christy, we're wrapping up this segment and really appreciate you sitting in with us. I wanted to mention one more thing because Christopher sometimes has to do weird things on the Lebatard show. Out of the blue, I got a text from him a couple of weeks ago. Do you have a red stapler I can borrow?
Yeah, that was my stapler. I need my stapler.
It's like, I do have staple. I have two staplers in my office right now that I'm looking at. Neither of them are red. But Christy, what in your experience has Christopher done on the show that's weird that seeps into the house where you all of a sudden you're scrambling looking for a pair of yellow sneakers or something?
I had an Amazon Prime a bear costume a couple years ago.
Don't I still have that?
On like 2 days' notice.
That was expensive
costume.
Too, right?
That was expensive.
Was it like $200? It was, if for workaholic fans out there, it was the bear costume used in Workaholics. It's like a legit, like, it's not a full coat. You just like put your arms in the bear claws and then it wraps around your head. It's a dope. Do I have it?
Yeah, but we still have it.
Yes, I love
it. Oh
that.
My
like,
God.
I walk in the door at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday and he's like, I need a bear costume for Friday.
But you got it done.
I did. I got it done.
I feel like that's not what, like, is that the weirdest thing? I bobbed for apples a few months ago. You were judging me hard for that. I feel like, what else?
Oh yeah. That was during the pandemic and I'm like working in the living room and he's on the kitchen at the kitchen table. And I'm like on a Zoom meeting and he's bobbing for apples.
There was a few awkward during the pandemic cause she's back at work now, but for like a good, what was it? 4 months, 3 months. We were essentially both people make fun of how I say both.
No, that's weirder.
But I'm just saying, people say I say it like I'm both, like both.
He also says comfortable, very weird.
Comfortable. I say every syllable, comfortable.
Comfortable.
But like some people say
comfortable.
Comfortable.
Comfortable is what I say.
Yeah.
Right.
But
comfortable. But yeah.
I always, like any scenario, I'm always like comfortable.
Yeah. How do you say both again?
Both.
It sounds like you're saying.
Like Mike Ryan makes fun of me saying that I spell it B-O-W-L, like bowl.
Both.
But it's both.
I think it sounds like you're saying B-O-F-F or both.
Well, both, but it's both.
Okay. Both. All right.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So we were working at home together for a few months. And there had to be some like things where I'm in my bedroom because we tried to separate. Our house isn't that big. And I'm just like shouting something and over a Zoom call and your people must be like, what does your husband do for a living?
Yes. So like, it was a very stressful time at my work because right. Like we're wholesale, we sell to retailers, all the retailers were shut down. So we're having all these serious meetings and stuff like this. And then you just hear him in the background cackling.
Shouting something.
Just like shouting things.
That is funny.
All right, I feel like let's wrap now.
Okay. Christy,
I did want to say one more thing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But a good thing.
Okay.
For all of both of your weirdness and awkwardness and stuff, that and how stuck in your ways you are sometimes, the person that you always bend for is Gracelyn. And that's amazing.
Are you talking to both of us?
Yes, both of you. Both of you. You guys are stubborn people, but when it comes to her, you guys become mush instantly.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I have yet to find a way to say no to her. And
I've said no to her. But yes, I get your point.
Rarely.
Right. Yeah. Like in Barnes & Noble the other day where you said, Grayson, if you don't listen, you're not going to get this book. And she didn't listen. And we all walked out with a book. So that's the kind of no you say to your daughter.
It's true. I almost took it away, though.
You did. Yeah. Your intentions were good. Well, Christy, thanks for joining us. We're recording this Sunday, and we'll see you two later for dinner for some fish Veracruz. So we look forward to that. And hopefully people have got through you. People have gotten to know Christopher and myself just a little bit better. So thanks much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. My favorite daughter-in-law.
You're going to be a star now.
No.
Christy, that was great. We may have to have a Christy 2.0. Let's see. And now, oh, it's Mount Gregmore, the U's. We're in the home stretch of the love it or hate it Mount Gregmore name game. The U's, the other vowels, they make fun of you. When A, E, I, O, and sometimes Y get together, it is the U they ostracize. Nobody knows why. They're bullies. Anyway, we give you the top five most popular first names of a given letter based on U.S. government records over the past 100 years, but there were zero U's to make the top 100.
So. Oh, I guess we don't have to do it this week. Too bad.
No. We got to do it. What we're doing is we're taking the field and giving you the Mount Gregmore of all first names starting with U. It is a surprisingly...
Wait a minute. So we're just scrapping the rules of this game after you've been like stingy to the detriment of this... bit. You've been stingy with the rules, and now since you come up with a letter that doesn't have a name that qualifies, you get to just make up the rules as you go. This is bull.
That's right, because it's Mount Gregmore, not Mount Chrismore. You know what? It is you'll see in a minute. It is a surprisingly hefty list. Put it this way. The names that just missed included noted actress Uma Thurman, whom I so loved in Pulp Fiction. Baby! Sorry, Uma. Now, first, our honorable mention. He was a fictional
character. Wait, you just mentioned Uma Thurman, so she was an honorable mention.
No, she was one who missed the list.
But you mentioned her.
I mentioned her as somebody who missed the list.
So she's one of the honorable mention.
No, don't brain beat me. Now, first, our honorable mention.
Honorable mention number two.
He was a fictional character created by Charles Dickens in his 1850 novel, David Copperfield, and 119 years later, that fictional character's name was adopted by a noted English rock band, of course, Uriah Heep. Number five. He is a Jamaican track star, widely regarded to be the greatest sprinter of all time. The only man to win 100 and 200 meter gold medals in three consecutive Olympics. Of course, it's Usain Bolt.
Wow, he's number five?
Number five, man. We got some U's happening here. I'm telling you.
It better be.
This is a hefty list. Number four, he is the retired for now American college football coach who won two national championships with the Florida Gators and another with the Ohio State Buckeyes, Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer's ahead of Usain Bolt?
That's right.
That's a weird order.
I'm just saying. Number three, he's an American singer, songwriter, and actor who hit big in the second half of the 90s, dominated in the 2000s, and is still going strong. R&B sex symbol, 8-time Grammy winner, Usher.
Oh my God, you're so off on this. He has not had a hit in years.
Full name Usher Raymond IV.
He should be below Usain Bolt and the guy you had at fourth.
Number two, he served as 18th president of the United States from 1869 to 77, but might be even better known as the Army general who triumphantly led the Union in winning the American Civil War. It's Ulysses S. Grant.
I mean, I guess he needs to be up there.
Number one. Hey, we're a Miami-based podcast, so pardon the parochialism. This guy's a Miami born and raised.
Oh, wow. Really?
305 in the blood.
Really?
Really one of the most beloved players in Miami Heat history. Been a part of three Heat NBA championships and just announced he'll be back for an 18th season. You know it, Udonis Haslam.
I mean, this is just bull.
You have been sticking to such ridiculous standards for this entire bit, and now you put Usain Bolt at number 5 and Udonis Haslam at number 1.
UD.
This is not a Miami-based list. This is supposed to be your worldwide perspective.
It's a beauty, Udonis Haslam.
I mean, Usain Bolt behind Udonis Haslam, Urban Meyer, and Usher. I mean, that's Usain right. Bolt is livid if he is listening to this.
I mean, I'm sorry, Usain, but you got to get over it. Now, next week, like rays from the sun, we'll move from U to V. There were only 3 V first names to make the U.S. Top 100. Can you guess those 3? And which is number 1? Find out next week. Okay. Thank you, Christy, my beautiful, beloved daughter-in-law, for joining us. And talked a lot about Dolphins and Tua and his the loss and all that stuff. And Pod family, you know it by now. We appreciate you. Please rate, subscribe, and review. And we'll see y'all next week right here.
Nice dismount there. That was solid.
Thank you.
Right here.
Right here.
Man, your voice is bad.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.